Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may know that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in the Macedonian, the northern Greek city of Philippi, when he was in prison. He wrote to a church that was experiencing persecution, and just as he was experiencing persecution, he told them to rejoice, be joyful, to be glad, always. Think about that. Think about telling someone who is being persecuted to rejoice. Think about telling someone who has just lost their job to rejoice. Think about telling someone who is currently undergoing treatment for cancer and all the side effects that come with it and the unknown about the future. Think about telling them to rejoice. Think about telling someone who has just lost a loved one. Rejoice. We can imagine the reactions that we might get if we'd be so callous in those situations. But whether or not it's because someone says the wrong thing to someone who is suffering, people can very easily express their anger toward God when they're feeling overwhelmed by problems, by pains, and by the disappointments and challenges of life. For some people, the sinful nature tends to suggest that if God loves us the way that he should, well, then life would be trouble-free. Or at least we would only be burdened with problems that could be resolved and that could be eliminated with comparatively very little discomfort and effort. Other people, however, seem to be able to handle the challenges of life with a faith in God that never wavers and with a sense of joy that is never diminished. Through our faith in Jesus, the one who died, rose again, and is coming again, joy is possible in the midst of any and every circumstance of life. And as we saw, the Apostle Paul in verse 4 of our reading encourages us today to rejoice in the Lord always. He wants this to be our attitude, not just every now and then, not just when we are in the mood, when we feel particularly joyful, not just when things are going well for us in our lives, but always. And in faith, we can rejoice always. Why? Why are we able? How are we able to rejoice always? Because as the Apostle Paul says, just a few words later in verse 5, because the Lord is near. What a great message of joy that is. Now, if we stop and think about it, the Apostle Paul wrote those words, the Lord is near, and we are now here today, almost 2,000 years after he wrote those words, and Jesus still has not returned yet. But that doesn't negate the point that Paul was making. The fact is that one day Jesus is going to come back. He will keep his promise to do that. That great and unbelievably glorious day will occur. And whether we are still alive then when it happens, or whether we have died already before that day, nevertheless, we will all experience the glories of Jesus' return together. Because God tells us in his word that he will raise all the dead back to life on that day, to join together with those who are still alive on that day when Jesus returns, to witness all of those glorious events. When Jesus returns, we will experience the indescribable joy of realizing that because he suffered, died, and rose from the dead, because by the power of his Holy Spirit, we believe that he did this for us. We believe that on that day when he looks at us, all he will see is our faith in him and his perfect righteousness. He will completely and totally overlook all of our sin and will invite us to spend eternity with him, an eternity that is good, perfect, peaceful, and sinless. And our joy increases even more with the knowledge that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is right now near to each one of us, that he is with us every moment of our lives. Certainly, we still live in a sinful world as sinful people, surrounded each day by considerable pain, grief, and disappointment. However, faith in our Lord, who is present with us now and is coming again in the future, enables us to see beyond all of these troubles of life that we face and to be able to deal with these difficult times each day of our lives. We also rejoice always because our Savior God knows us intimately, better than we even know ourselves. He understands all of our needs. He invites us to come to Him in prayer, to talk to Him, and to listen to Him, to receive from Him through His Word and sacraments the peace that makes it possible for us to handle all of the challenges of life. What is even more wonderful is that God doesn't even need us to tell Him what our needs are. He knows what they are already, and He knows how they will affect us. He knows what the outcome of each situation of our lives will be, and he promises us that He will use even the troubling situations of our lives, even the painful and very grievous situations of our lives, still for our eternal good. And that is why we can also follow the advice of the Apostle Peter, which he wrote in his first letter in chapter 5, to cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. We don't have to worry about anything, because we know that He will take care of it. And so, yes, we can rejoice always. However, the reality of our lives in a sinful world and our lives as sinful people, still with a sinful nature within us, warring against God's will and against the new life of faith inside of us, the reality is that still, in spite of our faith, there are times when we can be overwhelmed with anxiety and disappointment when things are going badly for us. It's not easy to rejoice at those times in life. The devil is so active and busy that we are constantly confronted with things that get us down and sometimes deep in despair and depression. That is why prayer is so beneficial. It enables us to talk to God, and He has promised to hear and to answer each and every prayer that we pray. In response to our pleas to Him, He opens our hearts to listen to and to believe and be strengthened by His Word, through which He speaks to us a message of pure comfort. His Word that assures us that the devil's attacks against us are only temporary, and that God is ultimately in total control of our lives, now and into eternity with Him in heaven. And that really is the basis for the real sense of peace that we have. Peace that guards against all those things that could get us down. Peace that only God can give. How many times have we been overcome by the attacks of the devil, whether or not we recognize them at the time as the attacks of the devil? Every time that we think we have things totally under control in our lives, then it seems that just at that time, the roof falls in, everything caves down on top of us. We panic as if we're certain that the world is coming to an end, and we simply can't handle all of the mess that life is throwing at us. And those are the times that, by God's grace, we realize our helplessness, and we turn to God and let Him take care of us. Those are the times that we realize that God can take much better care of us and that His plans and hopes for us are so much better than the plans and hopes that we have for ourselves. Those are the times that we remember how much our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus means to us. In His promise of forgiveness and eternal life, we find the peace and the strength that we need to contend with those problems that we face. Since God has done and will continue to do so much for us, the Apostle Paul encourages us to respond in the way that we relate to each other, to the people around us in our lives. And his encouragement to us in that regard is simple and to the point. Be gentle to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. We're not just talking about an inner quality. We're talking about the way that we treat other people. He encourages us to be gracious, forbearing, kind, and yielding toward others. And that's not easy to do. However, when we remember what Jesus has done for us and that he is coming again, that encourages us and assures us that he gives us the strength to speak and to act with gentleness. Part of the difficulty in doing that is that the world does not always respect this attitude of gentleness. The world sometimes interprets gentleness as weakness and takes advantage of us, sometimes doing significant harm in the process. And this damage might even sometimes be done by those who claim to be our fellow Christians. It may seem hard to rejoice and to be gentle at those times. What makes it worse is that at times we are tempted to encourage and to support ungentle behavior in ourselves or in other people around us. We do that when we admire and sometimes emulate the shrewd and even dishonest person who appears to have it made in life, whether from a social or an economic point of view. We often feel that we need to be similarly tough and worldly smart and strong and in control of everything. It's not always easy for us to be gracious, forbearing, kind, and gentle. But when we look at Jesus with the eyes of faith, we see that the one who was so gentle, yielding, and gracious himself makes it possible for us to be that way also. With forgiveness as his answer to our sin and lovelessness, forgiveness that never stops flowing. He not only serves as the greatest example, but also he empowers us and enables us to be loving, gentle, yielding, and gracious to one another. Those were the qualities that made him willing to give his own life to save us. They are the qualities that cause so many people to be attracted to him and through faith in him to have their lives so dramatically changed for the good. So may the Holy Spirit help us to overcome our fears of being taken advantage of and to let Jesus' qualities become a natural part of our lives. And besides urging us all to be gentle to all, the Apostle Paul also encourages us to live a life of rejoicing by focusing on the things that are good and right. And once again, this is what Jesus did. Even when he was experiencing the pains of suffering that he knew would ultimately lead to his death on the cross, his only concern still was to do what is good and right. He willingly died for us. His whole being was filled with joy, knowing that he was completing the plan that would lead to the redemption of the whole world. Jesus was willing to do the good and right thing for us, and by the Holy Spirit's working in our lives through God's word, he makes it possible for us to concentrate on the things in our lives that are good and right. Things, as we see in our reading, that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Paul writes in verse 8, "Think about these things, and then do them over and over throughout your life." What if it doesn't seem pleasant or exciting enough to do all those things? What if it's not what we think we want out of life? What if the opposite of doing those things looks more appealing at times? Well, it's at those times that we need to remember God's promise that if we, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, if we keep our minds set on those good and right things, we will be blessed by him. The more closely we walk with God through life, the more we are able to experience one very special blessing, namely that of being able to see that whatever God chooses to do with my life is something that will, in the end, be an ultimate good and blessing for me. As sinful people who don't want to go through hardship and suffering, we won't always like the way that God deals with us or the things that he allows to happen in our lives. In faith, we can learn to accept it and even to rejoice, even through the hard times. How good it is to be able to put all our trust in Jesus, who died for us, who rose from the dead, who ascended, and who one day will return and take us to be with him in heaven. He who forgives all our sins and assures us of eternal life certainly can be fully trusted to care for all our daily needs. And so we are free to concentrate on and to do only those things that are pleasing to God and that are good for others around us. To get to that point in life and in faith is one very special blessing. And if we need further encouragement, we can see how this worked itself out in the life of the Apostle Paul himself. If you remember the many of the details of his life, that as a follower of Jesus, his life certainly was not easy. He was often in trouble with government officials. He was wrongfully imprisoned. Several times throughout his life, he was beaten to within an inch of his life. And he talked about a thorn in his flesh that he had, that multiple times he pleaded with God to take away from him because it was causing him such great anguish and suffering of body and soul. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Through it all, the Apostle Paul was just as human as you and me, yet he remained content and concerned about doing what was good and right in God's sight. He found strength, peace, and joy in the knowledge that Jesus, his Savior and his Lord, is going to come again and is going to do away with all sin and with all hardship and suffering and pain and bring all who believe in him into eternity in heaven with him. The message of the Apostle Paul to us today in this reading may appear to be a real challenge, since we live in a sinful world and a stress-filled world, and a world full of pain and grief. Yet he is bold in telling us to rejoice always. Jesus is coming again soon, and he will fulfill his promise to bring all who believe in him to live with him forever. Certainly this knowledge can make it possible for us to look beyond the problems of this life and to find complete contentment with whatever God gives us in life, with hearts filled with that peace, rejoicing always in God's love. We live to the glory of God and with much love towards others. Amen.